got some praise in the house. Come on, give God some glory. Oh, come on, you can do better than that. Anybody grateful this morning for God? Anybody just grateful? Anybody thankful? Anybody blessed this morning? Anybody highly favored? Anybody watch God do a miracle in your life? Don't sit down on a miracle, amen? Matter of fact, just hug at least three folks. Tell them God is a miracle worker. God is a miracle. God is working miracles for me, amen? Reaches to me. Reaches to the highest mountain, flows to the lowest valley. I thank God for the blood that gives me strength from day to day. Anybody know that that blood will never lose its power? I know I got at least one witness in the house. Look at somebody, tell them, I'm thankful for the blood this morning. I'm thankful for the blood this morning. Listen, I'm going to tell you why I'm thankful for the blood, because the blood heals. Anybody know that the blood, that by his stripes, it wasn't the stripes, it was the blood that came from the stripes. By his stripes, in other words, by the blood, I'm already healed. And I thank God I walked in this morning. I am so excited, happy. It's always a beautiful thing. I don't know about y'all, but I am grateful whenever I see God answer a prayer. Y'all feel what I'm saying? Like when you put your eyes on it, you prayed for it, you believe God for it, you waited, and then you watch God do it. There's just something about that. Amen. I got any folks that you prayed a prayer and you watch God do it? Three Sundays ago, early that morning, I got a call saying that one of our members had been shot. Sister Latia Tucker, one of our members, was at a picnic, just chilling, just ran by, just wasn't even gonna go, just went by real quick just to holler at her folks. A lot of folks' birthdays, she wanted to show some love. Somebody just started shooting. Eight folks got shot. She was shot in her stomach, got that call, came here, we prayed, told y'all about the situation, y'all prayed. That Sunday, left service, went to her hospital room, prayed with her, prayed with her mama, her daddy, her brothers. And I thank God I walked in this morning, and I saw this sister from, as I was walking in, and it was her, amen? You can't tell me that God won't answer a prayer. So we thank God that God is a healer, amen? Her mama here, mama been standing in the gap. Prayer works, y'all. It says, the effectual fervent prayers of the righteous. Don't you stop praying. And I'm about to come down that lane as I preach. Sometimes God, you try to figure out what exactly you need to preach, and God will give you your point when you get here. Amen. Y'all know I'm manuscript. I need to have it on paper. So if it ain't there, I'm like, oh, Lord. But sometimes God will give you preaching fuel. Amen. Something to remind you of why you do what you do. Amen. I feel all right this morning. I can preach that right there. God will answer your prayer. That's it right there. I don't know what your prayer is, what you've been praying to God for. Don't you stop praying. God will answer. God will answer your prayer. If you would turn, thank you, God. If you would turn to Acts, second chapter, 42nd verse, Acts. Last Sunday was Pentecost Sunday. We preached on the power of the Holy Spirit. Acts the second chapter, the 42nd verse, 42 through 47. It reads as such. It says, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers, and all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. and all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all. Sound like a hope, faith offering, as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. I want to preach this morning, if you don't mind, from this scripture. I want to preach this morning from Acts, the second chapter, from the sermon topic, Church Like It Used to Be. Look at somebody, tell them, I just want church like it used to be. I can tell who I'm preaching to. I'm at COH, because when I said church like it used to be, some of y'all start thinking about some, I ain't going to say nothing. The church like it used to be, amen. Let us pray. God, in Jesus' name, we thank you. God, do things in order, God. Do things that help us to grow. Do things, God, that sometimes we want to be encouraged, but sometimes we also need to be convicted. So, God, whatever way, however you want to do it, God, help us to become the church you've called us to be. God, we thank you, God. Now, God, save, deliver, heal, set free, encourage somebody this morning. In Jesus' name, we want to say thank you. In Jesus' name, let the church say amen. Thank God, those who are watching online, this Hope Happy Hour, I'm going to need y'all, even if I'm not preaching as good as you want me to, at least hollering just a little bit. My boss is here. Amen. My boss is here. Amen. So even if, just make it seem like I'm preaching. Amen. I don't know if I'm being evaluated or not, so I want a good evaluation, so I need y'all to, can I get a glory in the house? Come on, come on. Can I get an amen? Somebody say hallelujah. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Church like it used to be. Reading the book of Acts is great because it takes us back. Really, it takes us back to where the church actually started. The church of a resurrected Savior that died in order that we might live again, and that was raised from the dead so that we might have power to overcome whatever obstacles, whatever challenges, whatever situations attempt to kill our souls and bury our spirits. It's this book of Acts where we find the founding, the stone, the rock, the concreteness of the beginning of what we call the church. The problem is that the book of Acts has been both overlooked and dismissed. The early church father, John Chrysostom, said this concerning Acts. He said, certainly there are many to whom this book is not even known. And many again think it so plain that they slight it. Thus to some their ignorance, to others their knowledge is the cause of their neglect. But the truth of the matter is that it's almost impossible to do church if we don't have an understanding of what the church actually looked like when it came into existence. And that blueprint can be found right here in the second chapter of Acts. It is in this book that we see a primitive church model with the essential ingredients required to build a sustainable and relevant modern church that pursues aggressively new believers, delivers a dynamic worship experience, believes in the power of the Holy Spirit that provides both signs and wonders, and develops relationships that are built on self-disinterest for the sake of the well-being of somebody else. It's in this book of Acts, this second chapter. In other words, Acts reminds us as a church why we are actually a church. It is one of the greatest tools we have in the Bible that gives us a true definition of what we should be and not what we've become. It's the foundation of the church that over the years has been cracked, and like a pothole in the middle of a highway that is in need of immediate repair, or there will be more and more damage to both the vehicle and the structure itself. We've got to make the church like it used to be and not what we want it to be. We've got to make the church reflective of what Jesus called it to be and not what sometimes we find ourselves shaping it to be. Because if we don't, the church will become a shell of itself, more like a skeleton at times that needs to be notified that we are supposed to be the prophetic voice that breathes life into dead bones, not the bones themselves that are in need of reviving. I don't care what anyone says, but the church is still the command post for the body of Christ. It is still the focal point of our faith. It is still the headquarters for the working of the Holy Spirit. It is still the epicenter of our eschatology. This text right here, it emphasizes the early church. It was not a building, but the early church was a people. This was a new and fresh movement that did not yet have a structure with a name that was attached to it. It did not have elected trustee and steward boards. It did not have a website with a branding campaign. This church had not yet been registered for 501c3, had not yet developed customized bylaws, had not yet established a church calendar of events. You see, it was the 3,000 new believers who had just joined after Peter preached his initial sermon in the second chapter of Acts, where we see a people who profess the good news of Jesus Christ, a people who wanted to be the best for others more than they wanted to be for themselves, a people who were willing to sacrifice the good of those they were in fellowship with, a people who walked and talked and served under the power of the Holy Spirit that lived inside of them, a people who watched signs and wonders and miracles be performed on a daily basis, a people who came together in prayer and ate together in love, a people who recognized the power of community and the influence of sharing a common goal, a people who look out for we instead of just I. And the Bible says that the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. In other words, these were the key ingredients to both church planting and church growth. You don't need another book to read on how to figure out how to plant and grow a church, because it's right there in Acts, the second chapter. And it's the duty and responsibility of every believer to make sure that the church does not lose its primary definition, but that it looks like what it used to be. And I believe there's some things we can learn from this text that can help us as the church. In other words, the church, not the four walls, the church. I'm talking about the people in attendance, not the building, the church, so that we can be who God called us to be. First thing I believe when we look at this text, that if we're going to be the church that we used to be, that we have to always remind ourselves that church should never become an option. Church, look at somebody, tell them, this ain't an option for me. I got to be here. In verse 42, it says, and they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and the breaking of bread and in prayers. And in verse 44, it goes on to say that all the believers were together. Look at somebody, tell them, we in this thing together, and had everything in common. In other words, the church was not an option, but the church was a necessity. The church was not just a preference, but it was a privilege. The church was not something you woke up on Sunday and decided if you were tired, or if you wanted to hit brunch, or if you needed to wash clothes, or if you were going to skip church so that you could go see a team that don't care nothing about you or your race. But the church was an opportunity to get a word to sustain us, to fellowship with other believers, to share in the breaking of bread through communion, and to pray to the Almighty God to make a way out of no way. And I don't know about you, but that part of the church should never change. The church should never become an option or a choice. Matter of fact, I remember being in the Lee household. There was never a time when my brother or I got to decide whether we were going to church, because my mama and daddy had already made the decision. They had already picked the only choice, because church was not an option, but church was a necessity. And it's amazing how often we come to church when we think we need God, but how easy it is to put God up on the shelf when we've got things under control. Oh, when we need God, we're here. But when God has already blessed us and is already making ways and is already opening doors, then that's when we become lax on God, like we ain't got to show up. Hebrews, the 10th chapter, 24 and 25, said, it reminds us all, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. You see, church attendance is a biblical mandate from God. Meeting together is important in our development as we mature as Christians. In other words, at some point, church should never just be an option. The Bible is full of scriptures that contain these two words, one another. One another is symbolic to an understanding that we are not here to worship God in isolation. But something happens when we understand the importance of those two words, one another. In other words, we are not here to just be at bedside Baptist and to listen to Pastor Pillow, but we are here to be with each other, one another. 1 Thessalonians 4:18 says we are to comfort one another. Romans 15:7 says we are to accept one another. Colossians 3:13 says we are to forgive one another. Mark 9:50 says we are to be at peace with one another. James 5:16 says we are to confess our sins to one another. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says we are to build up one another. And James 5:16 says we are to pray for one another. And you can't pray for one another if you don't show up where one another is. I don't know who I'm talking to, but anybody ever came to church, but it wasn't just what the preacher said, but maybe it was a hug from your neighbor that lifted you. Maybe it was a song from the choir that ministered to you. Maybe it was some advice from a member that encouraged you. Maybe it was a prayer from a minister that settled you. And the thing you remember telling yourself is, I was so glad that I didn't stay in the bed, but I made my way to the house of God one more time. And God showed up right there where I needed him. Look at somebody, tell them it's not an option. It's not an option. It's not an option. I just told y'all something happens when we come together with one another. That's why when you are a member of a church, the church ought to know who you are, because you know that you've been to the church. And that's why when we got a call about Sister Latia, I knew who they were talking about, because I seen her in here. And so that's why when we were able to go see her and pray for her, she knew her church family was praying for her, one another. And she could understand that the fervent, effectual prayers of the righteous availeth much. I thank God for church. I thank God that I can come somewhere, that folks will meet me there, and we can be in this thing together. Look at somebody, tell them church ain't an option for me. Brunch runs from 10 to 3. I'll get to the 8 o'clock to make sure I'm there by 1 o'clock. The mimosas will still be running. Oh, I know who I'm talking to. But what I won't do is not show up to church so I can go eat some cheap food and not be fed by God himself. Second, this last thing, I ain't preaching long. I got to get y'all out of here. We are on a time frame. My boss is here. The last thing that we see is critical for church to affect the operators of the church is that we see in this text that everybody at the church got to bring something to the table. My mama said, say it again. I said that everybody in the church ought to bring something to the table. greatest thing the early church had going for them was this real sense of community. Koinos in the Greek. Y'all look it up. Don't ask me to spell it. It means community. It means fellowship. It means communion. It means to be together. You see, a place not just where they could be fed, but a place where they knew if they brought what they had to the table, that no one in the church, the body of Christ, would be in need. Verse 45, 46 says, they sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. That's what many churches are missing, a place where everyone brings what they have to the table to make sure that everybody is taken care of, a place where the needs of the community are priority, a place where the least of these are still welcome at the same table regardless of how much they were able to bring to the table, a place where the greater good is always of greatest importance. All right, y'all still not feeling me. Let me try to help y'all get a better understanding. My mother, Reverend Dr. Nancy Lee, has always had this special gift of not just being able to cook, but my mother has always had this special gift of hospitality. In other words, not only does she love to cook, but she also loves to invite others over to the house to eat what she's cooked. I have one of her gifts. I can cook. I do not have the gift of hospitality. But let me help y'all understand it. Because I believe the reason that I haven't been able to get that gift, the reason that gift did not transfer from her to me, is because over the years, I've watched her have to entertain people who would come to the house, eat everything that was there, and never even think of asking what they could bring to assist her with what was being served at the table. And then some of them would go as far as to say what they wished she had cooked because that was their favorite, or what they do and don't eat. Jesus. Like nobody asked you what you eat because you ain't bring nothing to the table in the first place. Don't clap too loud, because it happens all the time right in the house of God. We show up always expecting the church to feed us. Every time we show up, but there are so many of us who are sitting on something that God wants to get from us to bless the house. The problem is we just want to sit in pews, get a word, get blessed, get uplifted, and leave never asking, is there anything we can bring to help make sure somebody at the table is fed beside ourselves? So many gifts that the church is in need of. So many talents that the church is searching for. So many specialties that the church would benefit from. But today, churches are dying, malnourished, empty, and starved because what they need that's in the house, those who come only looking for how they can be fed, but not realizing they have what is needed so that everybody at the table can eat. 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 7 says, now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. Says there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. There are a variety of activities, but the same God who activates all of them in everyone. Then it goes on to say, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Woo! Y'all missing this. I ain't preaching, I'm teaching right now. For the common good. Don't miss that. Not just for your good, but for the common good. Not just for your family's good, but for the common good. That God gave all of us a variety of gifts for the good of every believer. for the good of the church, for the good of the kingdom. That when we get to church, we all have been given something that God wants to get from us, wants to use this in us, so that the fellowship, the communion, the community, the koinos are connected and have everything and more than enough, that they've got leftovers. That's what I used to love about my mama's cooking, is that my mama always made enough. And so even when folks left and had ate everything, she always had some stuff to the side for me and my brother. She always made sure there was more than enough. And that's what happens when the church comes together and understands that we all got gifts. We all got talents. We all got skills. That your talent is not you just sitting in a pew, but your talent is finding out, God, what do you want me to bring so that the church becomes a better church? So that the people become a better people. Everybody has something to bring to the table. I don't know who I'm talking to, but you've been serving here long enough to still not be active. You've been coming here long enough to still not think that you got something to offer. You've been showing up in assigned seats long enough that at some point you ought to be asking God, God, how can I be a blessing not to just myself, but how can I be a blessing to somebody else? And when the church remembers what we used to be, then the church can be what it's supposed to be. Standing all over the church.